Welcome back to Sports Saturday with Allie Trost and Blake Schneiders running the boards. Blake, what a bop. Great song choice.
Just for you, Allie.
Huge fan. Okay, guys, we just heard from TCU head football coach Gary Patterson there before the break. And just a couple of final notes on that. I thought it was really interesting in talking with him just about both Jeff Gladney, cornerback, and defensive tackle Ross Blacklock in our conversation. And while there are a lot of different players that are, you know, being selected by analysts all across the country and a million different mock drafts that you're seeing for the Chiefs, I did see both those names pop up a lot. So I thought it was important to go straight to the source, find out what he had to say and any insight he could provide about both those guys. My first thought on Gladney, despite the fact I think schematically he'd be a good fit, he could provide some relief for Tyrann Mathieu in that slot corner role and just bring a versatility in that way, even though I don't know if the Chiefs would necessarily require him to be that right off the bat should they draft him. I think his attitude and just what you hear about the toughness and the way that he likes to play, plays much bigger than he is. That's what anything you see on film, he kind of brings that in. Watching some interviews he's done, we talked about it in the interview, he played through his entire senior season as well as the combine on a torn meniscus. I don't know if it gets much tougher than that. We've seen this Chiefs defense show a lot of toughness this entire last season, Frank Clark being one of those examples, having played through various ailments and injuries and illnesses. But, you know, you look at things like that, this is someone who is going to come out and give it what they have, 100% every single time. I just think the toughness factor, then when you mix in his quickness, fast feet, his ability to do really well in man, different zone coverages, he's got a lot to offer for this team. And I think learning within a defensive back unit could be with, a Tyrann Mathieu at the helm could be a huge benefit to him. And I think having the experience of starting all 4 years in college would prepare him better than most to immediately come in and start making an impact. So that's a couple of thoughts on Gladney. And then for Ross Blacklock, Coach Patterson touched a little bit on the fact that NFL teams, when they do draft defensive linemen or defensive key pieces out of TCU, spend a lot of time with them in the film room. And there's a great article on Sports Illustrated that I read just about the way that TCU and Coach Patterson have approached their defensive mindset and always kind of trying to be a bit more proactive than reactive as a defense. And, you know, as we know, going up against some offenses in the Big 12 that have adopted the style of play like we see with Patrick Mahomes, the high-flying air raids, all of those things, and how they try and account for all of that defensively. And so I think from a film room standpoint and the mental game, the understanding, knowing, like Coach Patterson said, understanding concepts, being a student of the game, and the way that the Chiefs and Steve Spagnuolo, Andy Reid, Tyrann Mathieu, Frank Clark, how they've all said that is what they value, really, having, a player who can learn quickly, who can understand a lot of different concepts and bring that every single day when they come into the facilities. So, again, just two options of many different players in this draft who have been, mocked in many of these drafts at the number 32 pick. And those were just a couple of my final thoughts. Blake, did you think anything when you heard anything that Coach Patterson had to say?
Well, I like that he said that he can learn playbooks really well, because that's obviously the biggest transition that you have to make from college to the NFL, is being able to learn the playbook. I mean, we've seen countless athletes come from college who were, all stars, but they just can't get a grasp on the playbook. It's a lot to take in. I mean, so the fact that he thinks he'll be comfortable doing that, and I was actually watching some highlights of Blacklock during the break, and weirdly enough, he reminds me, at least body style and explosion wise, of Chris Jones.
Lanky.
He is at 325 to run a 4.9. I mean, I don't. If you weigh 329 pounds and you don't run a 4.9, I'm going to tell you right now, that's very hard. So the fact that he's got that kind of explosion was very impressive to see on film.
Well, and the thing that's interesting too is, again, some of the criticism surrounding Blacklock is that he suffered an Achilles injury that kept him out in 2018. But that injury is actually what allowed him in rehab to kind of shed off some of those extra pounds and physically get to the point that he is at now. And I think it's always exciting to hear a coach say about one of their seniors that they have a very high ceiling, that they feel like there's untapped potential there. I think, you know, to your point in watching some of his film, his style of play does mimic in a lot of ways what Chris Jones has. And again, still some unknowns with Chris Jones going forward, not to say that they would draft him as a replacement right away or anything like that. But I think those two playing alongside each other on the interior defensive line would be a total threat, and it would just add some great competition to that defensive line room. But great stuff from Coach Patterson. Appreciate his time and his thoughts on two of his former TCU Horned Frogs who are going into the draft hoping for that NFL opportunity. Next, we are moving on to Major League Baseball, because opening day at the K was supposed to be this week, and Major League Baseball, since spring training and the COVID-19 pandemic that everyone, including all of these different sports leagues all across the world, have been quickly trying to adjust to. I was actually at spring training, and so when all of this started happening, it felt crazy just to think that, a couple of weeks ago, I was literally in Surprise, Arizona, interviewing Royals players, getting ready for the season to start, and then everything now to a halt. But talked with former MLB first baseman Adrian Gonzalez, very decorated career, amazing individual, and we talked a lot about just where Major League Baseball is right now, what, you know, as fans and as a league, what the realistic expectations are now moving forward as everyone is trying to figure out if, you know, MLS, MLB, NBA, can NBA finish their season? Can MLB even have a season? If so, when does it start? And so we will hear my conversation with Adrian Gonzalez this week on those exact topics. So here is Adrian Gonzalez. Joining us now on Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 with Allie Trost is Mr. Adrian Gonzalez, a former MLB first baseman and five-time MLB All-Star. Adrian, how's it going? Adjusting to this new normal in this very strange time we're in.
Yeah, we definitely are. It's been a very unique 3 weeks here for us. We've actually been quarantined for almost 4 weeks. And just adjusting to, you know, being able to do business from home, but more importantly, be you know, a husband, a father, being a teacher to the girls since they're all homeschooled now, and also, you know, doing a lot more cooking and cleaning and all the things that you know, come with being at home every day as well. So, you know, just a lot of different chores and tasks that we have to tackle on every day. And, you know, it's something that is definitely has been an adjustment for everybody.
I swear, I've been doing dishes like every single day, which has never happened before. I'm like, yeah. Is this what it's like? But, you know, you mentioned being quarantined now for 4 weeks. You and your wife were in Italy during the time that all this was starting to happen.
Yeah, so she has a shoe line called Mia the Car, and her shoe line is all their shoes are manufactured in Italy. Their luxury women's shoe line. And so she was there before Milan Fashion Week, which is really when you know, all this kind of started to break out in Italy and in Milan. And she was supposed to be there through Fashion Week, but she started seeing the trend and decided to come home before they possibly you know, stop any travel from Europe into the US, and so she could get back home. So she adjusted her schedule and she came back about a week before she was supposed to. And with that, she was able to, some of the people that are in the fashion industry that stayed through Fashion Week weren't able to get back for like a couple of weeks. So wow. She made a good there. And and so she saw how things were happening and what was happening in Italy. As soon as she came back, you know, she started really pushing us as a family to really start thinking about not going out as much and just staying home. And a few days later, right when that weekend happened, we just decided to just stay home and not go out anymore before there was any actual government, you know, quarantine you know, messages.
Yeah. Well, thank God that she made it back safely and that, you know, she had the kind of the right with all to pass that info along to you all and that you're all safe now. And, you know, you talk about some of the things that you've had to adjust to in quarantine, all the different responsibilities, but what are some fun things that the family's been up to while staying inside a bit more?
Yeah, so we've been able to do, you know, some exercises as a family, a lot of cooking and board games and movies as a family and dinners. And, you know, we have breakfast, lunch, and dinner as a family now. And so being able to spend that all that time that, you know, a lot of times you just, you're such in the hurry of going, you know, you take them to school and then you know, you pick them up from school and you take them to their activity. And by the time you get home, it's like everybody has a free for all and what they eat. And everybody's eating at different times, and you know, soccer practice sometimes we run from 6 to 7:30. So my wife and my younger daughter would have dinner, and then me and my older daughter, you know, we would have dinner, and so we were never together as a family as a whole. So this has been a time where we can actually do everything as a family, which has been very a blessing in disguise in a way. And but overall, you know, I think. Just always concerned and thinking about everybody that is suffering through this virus.
Yeah, one of the very few silver linings, again, during such an unprecedented time that we're all dealing with. But one part of our lives that's been heavily impacted and one that you know very well is the sports world as a whole. When did you first really start to see it? You know, it really started with the NBA and Rudy Gobert and his diagnosis with COVID-19, and then just started spiraling and a snowball effect of sorts with the NCAA tournament being canceled and then spring training being canceled. What was your reaction to seeing all of that?
Yeah, you know, before that too, I think there was some the soccer games in Europe were starting to be played with no fans, and some things were happening outside of the US, but you knew that with as much travel and tourism that happens here in the US in general, that, you know, this pandemic was gonna get to the US and have a huge impact here. And so for us, we started to notice it. We started to notice the trend. And we actually had an event with Mia Bekar and MLB combined for I believe it was like the 18th of March that was canceled. And spring training was like canceled like the 19th or the 20th. And so, so it was, we started noticing and things started getting shut down. Once it started getting heavy, but yeah, it's had a huge impact on all the sports and obviously networks and TVs and everything. I mean, it has just had a huge impact on everything within the sports industry.
Well, and you mentioned with the MLB, it seemed like every single day for at least a week and a half or 2 weeks, there was a new update coming out from them. And most recently, what we've heard now from Major League Baseball and the Players Association is that they will only proceed with the 2020 season if there are no longer bans on mass gatherings that would prevent games from being played in ballparks, that there are no relevant travel restrictions in the US or Canada, and that medical experts will determine that playing games wouldn't present health risks for anyone present in the ballpark. So a lot of things that have to be right and in place for a season to even take place. What's your thought on all of this? Do you think a 2020 season is realistic?
I think they'll try to get it in. I think the best case scenario would be to maybe have it in Phoenix and everybody plays in Phoenix and, you know, in a place where the weather is there, you can play in all the spring training facilities. You can have multiple games. You can have double headers. There's not a lot of travel where everybody's in the same city. I would think that might be the best case, but at the same time, I don't know if that's beneficial to the networks and to the teams. And so maybe that is not even a consideration. So having to travel and, you know, players go out when they're in town and when they're on the road and they go to eat lunch, and they go, you know, walk around the city. And so there's always cross, you know, you're touching people and there's all this, so the social distancing thing might not be as effective, and there might be more spread of this, you know, virus than help. So you definitely don't want to be, you want to be a part of the solution and not part of the problem. So, I mean, I could see it being canceled, but hopefully not, but I could see it happening.
Definitely. And even if it's not canceled, I don't think with any sport, and what at least we're hearing more recently is that it's going to be a normal experience, or that things are just going to go back to the way that they were. And one of those factors being that some of these games might be played without fans. As a former player, what would that be like, and how much of an impact would that have on the potential outcome of a game or of a series?
It would have a huge impact. I think there's definitely a lot of players that, you know, use the energy from the fans. I would say most of the players use the energy from the fans to get going. I know when we play, you know, what we call simulated games, and we're getting ready for the season or getting ready for the playoffs, and you play these simulated games with no fans, and it's just, and I know it's your own team, so you don't get as high, but you know, you end up going through the motions more. It just doesn't have the same feel, the same effect. And so, you know, baseball is about the fans, and I think every sport's about the fans. And if you can't have the energy from the fans, it almost makes it, you know, a little bit less exciting, and the energy levels and the adrenaline is quite there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, because I am in Kansas City, this is a KC sports show. Got to talk a little bit of Royals, but more specifically about the new manager, Mike Matheny, and your playing careers never crossed, but you did see him when he was managing the Cardinals, and you were with the Dodgers in the NLCS and the NLDS. What do you remember from those times playing against him as a manager?
Well, one thing is that we actually have the same agents. So we do, we do know each other a little bit, and we have always said hi. We're both believers. That's another thing we have in common. So we do have a good relationship, and so I know that Mike is an incredible manager. He's great with all the guys in the clubhouse. I know playing in All-Star games and knowing some of the guys that played for the Cardinals throughout the years for him, they all loved him, they all respected him, they all knew that he's a great manager. And so I think Kansas City got a great manager there. I think all the players in the clubhouse are really gonna like him. You know, he's a baseball man, he was a catcher, he was a starting catcher, he was a backup catcher, he's done multiple roles, so he understands the game, he understands the players, he understands the star player, and he understands the guy on the bench as well. So he's got a lot of great qualities, and I think he's going to be a great manager.
Any favorite memories that you have with Matheny?
Any favorite memories with Matheny? Let me think. I think one of the best memories is, you know, there was a time when us and the Cardinals, when I was with the Dodgers, weren't very in good terms due to some balls being thrown at people. And so after some incidents, me and Mike had some good conversations just about how to work through everything and allow both clubhouses to get past that and just focus on playing the game. And so there was some really good conversations, and those were times that I got to know Mike a little bit better. So those were good. And, you know, he's a guy that if things need to happen, he'll be there and he'll go to war. But at the same time, you know, peace is always the best way to approach a game.
Yeah, no, that I'm from St. Louis originally and have now worked in Kansas City for a few years. So I know the Cardinals very, very well, grew up with that team, and I remember those games very well and know Mike Matheny from that time. So none of that really surprises me. But, you know, Adrian Gonzalez, as the baseball player, has now, you know, in life after baseball, become a businessman, and, you know, you've involved with Jersey Mike's, and how has this impacted all of, you know, what's happening right now from the business side? And, you know, you understand how it impacts the sports world, but now you understand on a different level how it impacts the business world. So what's that been like?
Yeah, no, it's definitely been, you know, I think it's impacted every aspect of life. But in the from a business standpoint, yeah, I mean, just sales in general, you know, you're used to a certain amount of sales per store. You have an understanding of what to order ahead of time. So I'm talking Jersey Mike's. And so all those things kind of out the door. Some stores that were doing really, really bad right now are kind of holding their own because, you know, they're near areas that have a lot of houses. And so third party deliveries and all this stuff, they're active. And then some places that were huge for like lunch rushes because of businesses are all completely down. And yeah. So getting those stores is tough because, you know, everything that we knew is out the door, and so we're establishing a new norm until we get through this all together. It's all new stuff, and so work hours and store hours, even to that point, are all things that have to be discussed. And you know, looking at the sales and sale trends, and is there going to be, you know, some averages to where we can say, okay, if we expect on Tuesday at 2 o'clock, there's going to be this many orders, so we can have the right staff, and all that stuff is all kind of out of whack, and going through this new stimulus to see, you know, what kind of relief are we going to get from all the lack of sales and lack of income and everything. So it has been a lot of emails, phone calls, conversations, looking at numbers. And so that's part of the thing that when I said earlier that, you know, balancing being a business person, being a father, a husband, a cook, a chef, a dishwasher and a laundry and everything is taking its toll because of the fact that there's so many emails, so many phone calls, so many things that you have to continue to do because everything is uncertain and unknown. And so you can't just say, you know, this is what it is and let's go. Everything changes every day.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's almost like, although things have slowed down, it's not like they've gotten any easier because things are slower, that there appears to be more time in the day. It's like the days just get away very, very quickly. But before I let you go, just a couple of final baseball questions, because now there are a lot of things in question, specifically with big events like the draft and like the All-Star game and even the playoffs. Starting with, you know, the All-Star game, where do you see that kind of taking place? One, and then two, if it even happens this year.
Yeah, I mean, I would suggest that the All-Star game does not happen this year. I think in the shortened season, you don't have, you know, a time for players to travel and spend a few days. You could use every day to make up games, right? So I suggest you just skip the All-Star game this year and go back to it next year. Hopefully everything will be back to normal. If there is an All-Star game, I would suggest it would probably be kind of like football where you do it at the end of the year and you just kind of make it more of a fanfare and just, you know, like lighthearted, just have a good time and do more activities around the game than actually focusing on the game itself. I feel like football does a good job of knowing, everybody knows nobody's going to take it serious, but it's more about just having the players be there doing those different challenges that they do and having kind of like, you know, player fan interaction access. Focusing more on that versus the game and the home run derby. You know, I mean, right now the All-Star game is all about the home run derby and the game, and that's really what everything revolves around. So maybe doing different home run derby for the pitchers and one for the hitters, and then doing, you know, some outfielders do throws from center, right, left, you know, trying to throw it to a trash can at home or doing some things like that. Just different activities that the fans can kind of rally around and just focus more on those things. So I don't know, that's my suggestion. But again, if there is no season or if the season needs to be shortened and they don't have time, it'll be tough. But something around those around that kind of scenario might work for some great fan interaction and content.
And then what about the draft? Do you see that taking place, or will they do something like what the NFL is going to do and have it be more of a virtual event?
Yeah, I think a virtual event would be good. The only thing is that a lot of high school kids are losing their season, so it's going to be hard to draft a high school kid not knowing what their season would have been like, because a lot of them have, you know, at that age when you're 16 going to 17 or 18, your development takes a huge jump. When I finished my junior season, I probably wouldn't have been picked in the top 20 rounds, and then I had a really good year, and then I was able to jump to be the first overall pick. I'm basically like 1.5 years of you know, showcasing
hey, Allie, the things I could do at that time. So we should probably take a break after a couple remarks.
I don't see high school kids that didn't get a season of baseball being drafted high, so I think that hurts their stocks, and now they're all forced to go to college. So I think that has a big effect. So it's one of those things where, like I said, it affects everything.
Yeah, they give me a lot of breaks in this hour.
So having the draft,
just time for breaks in this hour for some reason.
I don't know how that goes. I mean, I think you just have it. You have a virtual draft, and hopefully, you know, the players that were projected to be really good are able to, you know, continue to be good for the teams that draft them. But I don't see a lot of high school kids getting drafted pretty high at that point.
Yeah. And then last but not least, the playoffs, what's going to happen there? I've been reading things about potentially having a go even into December with a Christmas championship game, championship series. What do you make of all this, and how do you see that shaking out?
Yeah, I mean, you can't imagine a Northeast team playing December baseball games, right? I mean,
no. Hey, I'll tell you, Kansas City in December is pretty cold.
Yeah. So, again, that would have to be the neutral site. And going back to my theory on playing in Phoenix, I mean, Phoenix, you have 15 major league stadiums. And you can or not 15 because some complexes share teams, but you have about 10 complexes, and you can get a lot of games in. And then you have the major league stadium, which is where the Diamondbacks play. So that could be a place where, you know, all the games happen, and even the playoffs and the World Series. So it would be unusual, but I think fans would enjoy going to Phoenix and just catching a bunch of regular season games at once. I mean, and networks, everybody can be in one spot. The city of Phoenix would love it. So
yeah,
30 seconds.
That's for sure.
I would think that's the easiest scenario to answer all the questions across the board.
Hey, I'd love to go back to Arizona. I was there for Royal spring training, a lot of trivia nights after long days out of the park. So Adrian, thank you so much for the time. Best wishes to you and your family staying safe and healthy during this time. I'm glad that your wife, Betsy, was able to make it back from Italy when she did.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And really appreciate it. Stay safe. And, you know, I think we can all do our little part and stay home and be part of the solution here in this tough times.
Great stuff there from former MLB star Adrian Gonzalez this week. Had an awesome time catching up with him. And, you know, he has a lot of great insight on what might happen with this MLB season. Still a lot of unknowns there that we have yet to hear about, and we'll just kind of wait and see as the rest of the world does. But I wanted to add a little bit of context to his answer about Mike Matheny and favorite memory. And he mentioned that the two of them got together and kind of talked through some things of the past. Well, if you remember, those things of the past are a couple of little tiffs that happened in NLCS Game 6 and in the NLDS, I believe it was first game of the postseason. Yeah, in LA. And so NLCS Game 6, 2013, Adrian Gonzalez, he put up Mickey Mouse ears after his Game 5 home run. And then the following year in the NLDS game in 2014, got in a bit of a brawl with some of the Cardinals players. So there, you know, he said that there was some tension between the two teams, and those are the instances that he's talking about. So great stuff, though, from Adrian Gonzalez, and we will take a break. But when we come back, we will hear from Taylor Twellman, MLS broadcaster on ESPN, who is also a former player. Great stuff from him. Just a lot of questions right now with MLB, MLS, and what might or might not happen as far as seasons go in 2020. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to Sports Saturday with Allie Trost and Blake Schneiders running the board. Tweet at us if you want to get involved in the conversation, at Allie Trost. And speaking of Twitter, a little bit of news, I guess you could call it. Adam Schefter tweeted out that President Donald Trump is scheduled to participate in a phone call with all Major League Sports commissioners today at noon, according to the White House. And the scheduled participants on that call with Trump include NBA, WNBA, MLB, NFL, NHL, PGA Tour, UFC, WWE, NASCAR, and MLS. As you might notice, no NCAA on that phone call. So I'm sure we will hear a lot more of what is said, decided upon, discussed in that phone call later on today. But just to be aware of something to be on the lookout for, that will be happening today at noon. So that is that's an interesting one. I saw a funny quote tweet on that, just all of the people in that phone call, like next season of The Apprentice. Very, very well could be. Nothing surprises me anymore. But anyway, moving on. Again, great stuff from Adrian Gonzalez there in our first segment of this second hour of Sports Saturday, talking a lot about just what we can expect to see or not see with the MLB this year. A lot to consider there for Major League Baseball, as they have not even kicked off their season yet. They, you know, had spring training get started off and then abruptly stopped, and a lot of considerations to have as to what kind of season they might have, and whether that is a shortened season, no season. Do they make adjustments in the postseason or try to squeeze in as many games as possible? a lot yet to be seen. Blake, what is your kind of position on Major League Baseball? And I'm in the camp where I think that the season in general is too long. I think that they'd benefit from a shortened season regardless. Wouldn't mind seeing that this season if they are able to play, if that is a possibility. But what was your thought and where do you stand on all of this with Major League Baseball?
Well, the fact that I didn't get to go to opening day and I'm not watching baseball currently is pretty disappointing. One of my favorite things about summer is being able to go to the Royals game. So that has been a little bit of a bummer so far. I think as far as the season goes, a shortened season definitely sounds good. I think baseball is too long. 162 games is a lot of games, and I thought the NBA season was long. So I think they're definitely going to benefit from a shorter season. I know the players are all itching to get ready to go, and I think it's going to be odd because they already went through spring training, so they were already geared up and ready to go. I mean, the iron was hot. So it's going to be interesting to see them kind of get back into the groove, and I wonder if play is going to decline a little bit because of, I mean, I don't know what the start time is going to be now, but if we'll see play kind of decline and have to ramp back up since they've already done spring training and now they're kind of on the cooling side.
Yeah, and a lot of those questions are surrounding Major League Soccer as well, with players having gone through, you know, for some of them longer off seasons than others, but an off season nonetheless, where they were preparing, you know, to be ready for a full game of play, a full season of play, and then to have that cut short just two games into the season. Wondering now, when soccer does return, are those players going to be able to come back after, you know, having done all of that buildup? You know, every athlete has a very regimented schedule and how they prepare. They've got their off-season time and then their, you know, preseason time, like spring training and all of those things that are helping mentally and physically prepare a player for a season. And then to have all of that disrupted, what will that impact be like when sports do resume? And to talk a little bit more about that, I interviewed Taylor Twellman earlier this week. Taylor is an ESPN MLS broadcaster, commentator, does a plethora of other things, very talented. And as a former player himself. So got some great insight from him on, you know, the whole COVID-19 pandemic, where MLS stands currently as a former player, the impact that this might have when you do return. And then talking about other times in the past where sports stood still, as we are learning through just researching different major worldly events and events in our country that have caused sports to take a halt. We found that really nothing has compared to what we are currently living in right now. So we will talk to Taylor Twellman coming up right here on Sports Saturday. Joining us now on Sports Saturday with Allie Trost is former MLS player turned commentator and multiple other things, Mr. Taylor Twellman. Taylor, how are you doing on this fine day?
Good. How are you, Allie?
You know, we're doing our best over here. You learn a lot about yourself when you're in quarantine. That's what I've learned, you know, just certain habits.
So what have you learned about yourself then?
I learned at first that I didn't hate it too much. I was like, this isn't that bad. Get like the little at-home work setup going. Talk to myself a lot more than I thought. I already live alone, so I kind of was used to at least that part of it. But yeah, staying inside for, you know, 24 hours a day versus, you know, 8 or 6 or 2, a lot different, missing that human interaction, especially working in this business. So I guess let's just start there with, from a work standpoint, MLS season had just kicked off. You got a new show on ESPN called Banter that had just started, and then everything starts to come to a very abrupt halt. How did that impact you and your personal life and then just professionally?
You know, it's impacted all of us, Allie. It's not to get into a political conversation, but I think a lot of us in the United States weren't completely prepared for it. And it's unfortunate. The truth of the matter is it's everyone's been affected. So I feel guilty saying, well, I can't believe I'm not traveling. I can't believe I'm not calling games. I can't believe I can't go outside. I can't do this. And then, you know, over 6 million people are unemployed. It's just been, Allie, it's the weirdest. It's like watching a movie, and yet we're all living in it. So, you know, it's been one of those where you sit there and say, well, I'm either going to roll up my sleeves and do something or I'm not. And so we've still continue to show here at ESPN. You know, thank God for Zoom. It's been a great resource for us. We've got very limited resources, personnel, so to speak, that can go to studio in Connecticut and tape stuff from a control room. So we're lucky there. Obviously, good buddies of mine, Scott Van Pelt, Mike Greenberg, those guys are continuing their shows. You know, we're all just trying to do something to contribute to society, to take everyone's mind off of things. And so we've done a little bit of a, I don't know, look back, flashback, so to speak. We've looked at on Banter, you know, the 96 MLS Cup, the 96 opener. You know, we've looked at David Beckham's, you know, MLS debut and whatnot. And we'll continue to do that until, you know, the games are up and running, no matter what form they're in. We'll continue to do whatever we can to take the mind off of the pandemic for anyone that, you know, wants to listen and take a trip down memory lane.
Yeah, I know for myself personally, just the creativity that all of this entails, right? You know, when you've got games coming up each weekend and always different news to talk about with the just constant grind of, you know, a regular season schedule, you don't usually have time to explore those other options or those other, you know, fun look backs, trips down memory lane, creative content, I guess you could call it. I did see your interviews about David Beckham this past week, which are hilarious. Definitely go check them out and follow Taylor Twellman to see some of those. The Southwest Airlines story and the B boarding group. Definitely, definitely I mean, laugh.
I mean, Allie, if you think about it, David Beckham flew Southwest Airlines.
And not only that, but like wasn't even a priority boarding member. Like that's insane.
That's one of the best stories ever.
Amazing. But and just like the fact he didn't say anything is just what a guy. But you know, again, having to be a little bit more creative, what's your favorite thing as far as a content piece or story that you've gotten to tell that you may not have gotten to tell otherwise?
Well, former teammate of mine, Marshall Leonard, is actually a emergency room doctor right now at the front lines of the COVID pandemic in New York City. So we did a about a 45-minute interview. We've turned it into a 5-minute piece that will air on Outside the Lines, SportsCenter, and I'll put it on my social media channels. I mean, I haven't talked to him, Allie, in 13, 14 years, and yet here these circumstances bring us to that point. So, you know, not to be the Debbie Downer on the creativeness, but that's a real-life news story that I feel very fortunate to tell and give Marshall a voice, and I think it's a story that everyone, you know, definitely wants to listen and watch, to say the least.
So we've gotten to know and hear a little bit about Taylor, the broadcaster, but let's go back to from the player side of this thing and the impact that it has on these guys who spent a very long off season for some of them preparing for this MLS season and then to have that cut short and now trying to stay 90 minutes fit. How much is this going to impact these players when soccer does resume, potentially May 10th, but what it's looking like now, maybe even longer than that?
You know, it's a difficult one because on the other hand, it's just like a normal off season where it's up to you personally to be able to do stuff. But however, this is a little different because you need to practice social distancing. And so while doing that, that makes it a little bit more difficult to, you know, work with your personal trainer, use the right equipment. But I mean, Allie, I'm a little old school, no excuses. Where there's a will, there's a way. So you find a way. You just have to find a way to stay in shape. You have to find a way to stay mentally engaged as if the season's going to start tomorrow. So when you do get that phone call and you do get the call to come in, then you're ready to rock. But I'm not naive enough to think that these players are going to be capable of staying match fitness. That's impossible. But, you know, keeping your mind and your body in decent shape and ready to rock when that call comes, it's definitely doable. It's not the end of the world.
As we know now, nothing in history compares to what our current situation is with this COVID-19 pandemic. But in your career, was there ever a time where sports stood still? And if so, what do you remember from that time and how it influenced the entire sports world as fans and, you know, just people?
Well, never like this. I mean, I actually did a little research the other day for SportsCenter. It's the last time it stopped like this was World War II. Now, for me, it's eerily similar, the initial reaction to September 11th. I was in Germany playing for 1860 Munich, walked into the locker room, saw the Twin Towers go down. But, you know, Alley Sports started 3, 4, 5 days later. I mean, George Bush was throwing out the first pitch for the World Series. You know, you'd have to check my math, what, how long that period was, but it wasn't what this is going to be. Yeah. I mean, the fact that, you know, you and I are talking the same day that Wimbledon and the Open are canceled, and, you know, there are legitimate periods of time here where there's going to be no sports. That's never happened in my lifetime. And I'm not sure it's ever going to happen again. You know, that this is just one of those things where you never thought you would see it. It's happened, and how you react is, you know, shows your true test of character. But it's amazing to sit here and say that we are not going to have sports for months.
Yeah, no, and not just no sports, but for months and potentially even the rest of the year, no sports at every single level. This has truly had an impact, not just nationwide, but around the world as well. So when will MLS return? We hear a date of May 10th as what MLS is looking to as their goal, but what do you think the return date will be?
That's an interesting one. I think you're going to see MLS return with closed door matches. I think that's first and foremost. I also think you're going to, you have to be creative if you're Major League Soccer and how you get these games in. You know, obviously the US Open Cup, Leagues Cup, all those extracurricular competitions, those are going to be canceled for the year. But, you know, it's a matter of being able, can you find a way when possible to get as many games in? And I think you're going to have to be creative, because the one thing, Ellie, that no one's talking about is it's every league coming back, and every league has those television contracts and those television deals. So now all the games can't be played Friday night at 7 p.m. They just can't.
Yeah.
So you've got to be creative. And if they're closed door matches, I'm playing games mid-morning. I'm going to find a way, if I'm Major League Soccer, to make sure I am the event that's on at that present time. And if that means 11 o'clock in the morning, Eastern time, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so be it. They're closed door matches. Who cares about the fans? You've just got to find a way to get as many games in. But I think we're putting the cart before the horse, if you ask me. I think MLS and NBA and everyone's looking at June. I think, I hate to say it, but I think that's a long shot.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I get that you have to plan for as many scenarios as possible, but even just, again, talking with Peter Vermees and some of his staff and the number of times that they've had to come up with a new plan and then completely scrap it, come up with a new plan as the CDC keeps updating, you know, with new recommendations that they're coming out with, new orders from different cities and governors, you know, it's hard to come up with a plan, again, during such an unprecedented time. It just almost seems silly to try to put a date on the calendar when there's still so much that's unknown. But something that we do know is that MLS will be coming to St. Louis in the year 2020. You and I are both born and raised St. Louis folk. What do you think about St. Louis finally getting that MLS team for so long? You know, this has been something that the city has desperately needed. What was your reaction to initially hearing that that was finally going to become a reality?
Well, my initial reaction was about time. It's been a long time coming, but I just want to make sure that you know this, because a lot of St. Louisans claim that I was born there. I was born in Minneapolis, Minnesota. My father was playing for the Kicks. I spent about 12 years of my life in St. Louis. St. Louis, I consider my childhood home. It makes me want to throw up that I'm now going to tell you I've lived in Boston longer than St. Louis, which is amazingly gross to me. But I digress. Elliot is a... it's a special moment for all of us. All of us grew up in a city in St. Louis, Missouri, that literally soccer's in the heartbeat. It's the soul. It's in the blood of the city. It's been there from 1950 on. But they've struggled to show the appetite for the first division, for the professional game. And now they get a real opportunity to do that. Carol Kendall-Betts and her family, great owners, Jim Cavanaugh, part of that group, the stadium that they're going to build, the rivalry they're going to have with Kansas City. It's just perfect. And quite honestly, if you're going to build a league in this country before the World Cup in 26, when it's here, you need to find cities that live and die and breathe for the sport of soccer. And St. Louis is, if it's not 1A, it's 1B. And so I look forward to going to that opening game. I look forward to being there numerous amount of times. And I just think, you know, for all of us like you and I that grew up there, think of all those kids that are now going to be able to see that on the same level as St. Louis Cardinals baseball or St. Louis Blues hockey. I think it's going to be a real treat. And I think the city's going to really flourish with that sport.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I grew up, you know, going to camps, learning from the greats like Dan O'Keefe, Jeff Cacciatore, my own great uncle Al Trost, even, you know, some of the Twelmans as well. And it's just, you know, there's so many. I think what's really remarkable with St. Louis is just how many well-known soccer players who were so accomplished in their careers did move back and either taught and coached at different high schools, Eric Delabar being another one, having a big impact there. And so that kind of leads me to my next question, because some of those guys played for the St. Louis Steamers. What's the name of this team going to be? Are they going to pay homage to the Steamers? Are they going to have it tied in with some of the history of the city? Is it going to be something a little bit more, progressive? I've heard some other joke kind of names like Provel FC. What are you thinking?
I can't reveal that, but I don't think it's going to be that complicated. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. So I feel as though you might have some inside information. Well, we are.
Yeah. I mean, I know the name of the team. I just think it's not complicated, and that's the way it should be.
Good. I like that. Well, Taylor, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it. When soccer does resume, look forward to hopefully seeing you at Children's Mercy Park, and have a good rest of your day.
No, Ellie, it's great having you in this sport and covering this league. It's a great voice, and great to talk to you.
All right, there you have it. Mr. Taylor Twelman providing some insight on MLS and what we might be able to expect to see. And I loved what he had to say about the no excuses. I know that, you know, for a lot of athletes right now in many sports, this is a time where they're having to adjust and pivot from, you know, having done all of that off-season, preseason training to now finding themselves with a lot of downtime, trying to stay motivated. No excuses, no matter what you do, whether you work at an office job or you are a professional athlete, no excuses, always trying to get better. So great stuff from Taylor Twelman. And a big thanks to all of our guests today on Sports Saturday. Spent time talking with Coach Gary Patterson of TCU Athletics about the NFL draft, even a little Kansas City Chiefs. He grew up in a small town in Kansas, was actually a Chiefs fan. So his ties even beyond seeing Patrick Mahomes in the Big 12 and wanting to see him be successful go far beyond that with the team. And then we had the pleasure of speaking with Adrian Gonzalez, former Major League Baseball first baseman, five-time All-Star, about all things Major League Baseball, what to expect with this MLB season, if it will happen, if it won't happen. And then hearing from Taylor Twelman on all things MLS. Very grateful for their time this week and helping me bring to you guys what I hope you enjoyed as my very first Sports Saturday show. I will be back again next week, same time on Saturday, 9 to 11 a.m. And if you're looking for something to do today, you're hanging out, you're missing March Madness, or you're geared up for WrestleMania tonight, you can keep your dial turned to Sports Radio 810 because we have a great lineup of shows for you. Not shows necessarily, but I guess you could call them shows, as they are three March Madness games that you don't want to miss. 2015 Final Four, Wisconsin versus Kentucky, comes up right after this show at 11 a.m. Then you will have the 1985 NCAA National Championship game, Villanova versus Georgetown at 1:30, followed by the 2008 Final Four, Kansas versus North Carolina at 4 p.m. Great games to tune into, listen to, enjoy before WrestleMania. Blake, did you have fun today?
I had a blast, Allie. Congratulations on your first official show. First official Sports Saturday.
Thanks. First official Sports Saturday. It was a good time.
I had a blast.
Looking forward to being back here again next week. So everyone stay healthy, stay safe. Thank you again for tuning in. You can find this on the podcast page as well. If you want to listen again, share it with your friends. Do whatever you want. That's up to you. But thank you again for your time, for listening. And again, stay safe, stay healthy, and try to enjoy this downtime and this very strange time focusing on what matters the most. So some more positivity to end the show. Blake, have a good rest of your day. Enjoy WrestleMania tonight.
Thank you. I will. You too, Allie.
All right. We'll see you guys back here next week, 9 to 11 on Sports Saturday with Allie Trost.